Father, we thank you this morning for this glorious gospel. We thank you that it was all accomplished and done through your Son, his coming, his sinless life, his ministry, his death and shed blood on the cross, his glorious resurrection, his ascension to your right hand where he intercedes for us, and one day soon his return to this earth to rule and reign in glory. Thank you that you have transformed our lives with this glorious gospel message. And thank you that you have taken this message and put it inside of us so that we then can share it and we can let it shine and we can, Lord, then share it with those around us and we can become vehicles of your grace. We just thank you for the glorious message of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And wherever this glorious gospel is brought, lives are changed and transformed for all eternity. Thank you that Elmer Chapel knew he was ready to go because of this glorious gospel and because he had personally put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, let us never underestimate what you have done. Let us never take for granted what you have done. And let us never be bashful about sharing what you have done. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you're one of the folks who like to fill in the blanks, or quite a few of them today, and take the notes, now would be the time to get that out of your bulletin. We heard a little presentation using the Evangie Cube, they call it, here this morning. And it's used not just here, but all over the world, just as a vehicle, as a means of presenting the basic truth of the gospel message. And I think that when Paul wrote the second letter to the Corinthian church, I don't think that he sat down and said, well, let me see how many different ways I can describe the gospel in the first five chapters. Let me see how many metaphors I can use to explain what this gospel is. But as he began to write, just in the course of what he was sharing, it just occurred to me as I looked over these first few chapters, he has given us metaphor after metaphor after metaphor of what the gospel is just in the first five chapters of this book. And so I thought this morning that it would be nice to take just a composite of what the Apostle Paul has written about this gospel message. Were you saved by any way other than by the gospel message? There is no other way. There is no other salvation. And so every time we share it, it should be just as new as the first time we heard it. Amen?
Amen.
We have a tendency to, you know, things that we are used to and we hear over and over, it's just sort of blasé after a while. But this gospel message is so glorious. And I just get the feeling the Apostle Paul, I mean, this man, he had been beaten and he had been stoned and he had been in jail a whole bunch of times. But I just get the feeling that after 30 years of ministry, the Apostle Paul was just as excited about the gospel as the first time he got out there and preached it. And I would hope that that would be our feeling as well. Because I tell you, folks, this really is the real deal. This is the message that will transform a life. This is the message that will keep somebody out of hell. This is the message that will give somebody the grace they need to make it victoriously through the difficult spots in their life. Amen. So, let's look at a few of Paul's metaphors this morning. Number one, the gospel is a life-changing fragrance to be spread everywhere. He says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. And we already spoke a few weeks ago how he had had one plan, but he had to change it, and he said goodbye to them, and he went on to another place. But even in the midst of the ups and downs of life and the unexpected changes and the things that we hadn't planned on and everything else, everywhere we go, we carry this wonderful fragrance of the knowledge of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many, how many have some kind of perfume or cologne at the house? And if you don't now, you probably have it sometime. But how many of you would go out and spend $250 for a bottle of perfume, leave the cap on tight, and never open it? Now, you know you wouldn't do that. And some of you are so stingy that you open that thing and you put a little tiny drop in it like this. But others of you like to smell really good and you just kind of splash it on. You know what I mean? And this, do you have enough gospel in you that people can smell it? Do you have enough of the Lord in you that it shows? Or is it buried down in it? Or did you just put such a little bit on that, you know, people have to really know you well to even know that you're a Christian? And like I said that day, I mean, you can be in line somewhere, and if somebody's got a bunch of that perfume on it, you know it right away. You can't miss it. You can't get away from it. But this glorious gospel, it is a fragrance, and it is meant to be spread, because that's what fragrances are for. I tell you what, those good fragrances, they just stink up the whole room, but in a good way. And that's the way we ought to be. Number two, this gospel is a transforming message of life for all to read. This message, once it is deposited inside of an individual, then, as we preached a couple weeks ago, you and I become a living letter of God's grace. And letters are, how many of you would receive a special message or a love letter from somebody you really care about a lot and never open it? It comes and you say, oh, it's so pretty, I'm going to put it here, but I'm not going to open it. But this is to be read by everybody. We are supposed to be an open letter. It's not supposed to be a secret that we know and love the Lord. I don't believe in being mean to people, and I don't believe in beating people over the head with the gospel message, but neither do I believe that we should try to keep it a secret that we know and love Jesus. I think that everywhere we go, we are open letters. So this, the gospel is a message from God, and He wants it known by everybody. He wants it read by everybody. And the message that He's put in you and me, He wants people to be able to read it easily. He doesn't want them to be able to have to get out the magnifying glass in order to be able to read it, but to be that it would be known and be open. And so it's a transforming message of life. How many messages do you know that would actually transform a life and change their eternal destiny? Well, there aren't any others. Yeah. This is the one, and that's what this glorious gospel is. Yeah. All right, moving on here. Number three, 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 18. This gospel is a divine revelation of ever increasing glory. Did you hear what I said? This gospel is a divine revelation of ever-increasing glory. And if you take the time to read this passage, you're going to read about how when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, God's presence and God's glory was so great up there that when he came down from the mountain, his face was glowing like a neon sign. And the people couldn't even look at him. And after a while, he put on a veil. And according to Paul, the reason he put on the veil was that the glow was getting a little less each day, and he didn't want people to realize that the glory was fading. Yeah, yeah. But that was the message, you know, of the law. That was the message of judgment. That was the message of condemnation. And his point in this passage is that if that message, which actually we said it's a dead-end street, any way you cut it, if you stop at the law, it's a dead-end street. Because we've all broken God's law sometime, some way, somehow, someplace. But he said if that was delivered in that much glory, he said, what about the message that brings life? And so we have a message that instead of being of diminishing glory, we have a message that is of increasing glory. Hallelujah. How many ever heard a old enough like me to know a little song that they used to sing in church when I was little? Sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. It gets better every day. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I what? Love Him more and more. So this is a thing of ever-increasing glory. And instead of being stale and instead of being tired of hearing it and all of that, the more we get into the Word of God, the more we see what's in it, the more we see what God has given us and provided for us, then it just gets better every day. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. He says, we're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing on it. We want people to see the glory of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Because that glory is what changes people. While the radiance was fading away. But he says further down, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth, that's what's supposed to get dim, will grow strangely dim in the light of His what? Glory and grace. Praise God. It gets better as we go along. It gets brighter as we go along instead of the other way around. You know, almost everything they say is that the law of thermodynamics, some of you who are engineers or physicists or whatever, but the law is that everything starts out and then gradually, like a car, you push it, but it's going to eventually lose momentum. Or an energy source, you light it and, you know, the candle burns down, doesn't it? But that doesn't happen with the gospel. Number four, this message is a glorious light powered by the radiance of Christ, God's Son, and the Redeemer of men. Now here he's talking about it being the gospel just being a light. He says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So he says, we're putting it out there. So if they're not seeing it, it's not because it's hidden. They're not seeing it because the old devil has a blinder on their eyes. And we need to pray to the Lord that He would take those blinders away. Did you know that there are people you may be witnessing to or whatever, And to you, it's just as plain as day, and they're just not getting it. Do you know what they need? They need for those blinders to be taken away. Amen? And who can do that? The Lord can do that. He can take the blinders away. And then a little further down, he says, this is one of my favorite passages. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. When did God say that? At creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the deep waters, and God said, and there was light. And that was the first thing. And then everything else follows that. Now, the earth was without form and void. That means lifeless and empty. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. That is the condition of fallen man. That is the condition of your heart and my heart before we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is going to take a spoken word of God saying, let that light shine out of darkness in order to bring light. And so, when God saves an individual, it is just as big a miracle as when He first spoke the world into being. Because it is just as supernatural an act. And in this very passage in chapter 5, he says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. I have argued that the only new thing from scratch on planet Earth, because Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, is a born-again believer. That's the only thing on planet Earth of which you can say it is totally new. And so, and this light will shine anywhere. This light here, I'm not the light. The gospel is the light. I'm the light bearer, but I'm not the light. And you can take this light to the deepest jungle somewhere, and it will bring about the light and the change. You can take it to Taliabu. You can take it to the former East Germany. You can take it to any of our needy neighborhoods right here in Tidewater. The thing is to get the light there, because once the light is there, it's going to shine. Amen?
Yes.
And the people that receive it are going to be transformed by it. It'll work anywhere. Number 5. It's a rare... Actually, I was thinking later, it's more than rare. It's unique. It's the only one of its kind. But we'll say it's a rare and priceless treasure to be openly displayed. How many ever been to a jewelry store? How many here today can afford the kind of stuff they've got at jewelry stores? When you go into a jewelry store and you say, I'd like to see a ring. I'm going to be married. And I want a ring for my girlfriend about 1 carat in size. Does that man have to go all the way back in the back somewhere and open a safe and dig a hole and do all that in order to find it? Or is it right there in that display with a nice little light shining on it?
Yeah. Yes.
And they don't hide their treasure. They display their treasure. Now, the vessel is an earthen vessel. I preached on this one time. You and I, we're just an earthen vessel. This old body is just an earthen vessel. The earthen vessel that Elmer Chapel lived in will be interred here in a couple of days. That's the earthen vessel. But that's not the treasure. You see, the treasure's still there. God has put his treasure, which is the glorious message of the gospel, he's put it in these frail earthen vessels. But since the focus is on the treasure and not on the vessel, does it matter if I'm an ugly vessel? Does it matter if I'm a cracked vessel? See, the value of the treasure and the attraction of the treasure, now, in fact, if the vessel isn't too nice, it's almost better because it doesn't take away from the treasure. And God has chosen to put his treasure in earthen vessels. But the purpose is to display the treasure. That's the purpose of the earthen vessel. What's the purpose of it? To display the treasure. That's the purpose of the earthen vessel. To display the treasure. Next week, Lord willing, I'll be talking more about this because he picks up on this in chapter 5. All right? And then lastly, this gospel message is an open invitation to restored relationship delivered by personal ambassadors. When a government has a really, really important message that they want to deliver to the government of another country, to the head of another sovereign nation, who do they entrust that message to?
Ambassador.
An ambassador.
Yeah.
who represents him. Now, the ambassador is just a representative. He's not the authority. He's not the king. He's not even the framer of the message. He is simply a representative who is going to represent his king or his president or his prime minister and is going to deliver that message to the other sovereign body. But because the other sovereign body knows that he is an ambassador and knows that he is officially charged with that responsibility, therefore, he will accept the ambassador, he will hear what the ambassador has to say, and he will accept as true the message that's being delivered. Because he's not there on his own behalf. He's not there on his own time. He is there at the direction and at the pleasure of the one who's in it. Are you hearing me? And when we become a believer, I didn't say when we become a preacher by vocation. I didn't say when we become an Awana worker even, or a teacher of Sunday school. When we become a believer and we become a child of God, we become a part of the heavenly family, and he deposits his grace and his message in us, guess what that makes us? An ambassador. You're an ambassador. What are you?
Ambassador.
An ambassador. Of who?
Jesus.
Of the great King, which all of Adam's seed by birth and by nature are on the outs with, because they're all seeking their own way and they've turned their back on the King. And now we've been transformed by the King, by the Son of the King, by his atoning death on the cross. He's made us his ambassadors. He's put his message in us so that we can be a personal ambassador to the people in our home, the people on our block, in our neighborhood, in our community, at our place of work, in our social circles, and in all the places where the Lord sends us. We are his what?
Ambassador.
And that, to me, speaks volumes. That God cared enough not only to send his son, not only to have his son leave heaven where he had always been and come down here to this, by comparison, crummy earth, come down here, take on a physical body, go through all the indignities that he went through, ultimately shed his blood and pour out his life on the cross for lost sinners like me, then on the third day raise him to life, then 40 days later cause him to ascend to his right hand where full time he's there making intercession. He not only cares that much, he cares enough to appoint a personal ambassador to bring me the message. Maybe my mother, my father, a brother, a sister, a cousin, a niece, a nephew, or just a friend, or on occasion, a stranger who says, do you know that God loves you? Do you know that there's one who died for you on the cross? Do you know that there's one who loves you and wants you to be reconciled to him through his son? And then the other side of that is to think that he trusts us enough and loves us enough that once we know him, he'll let us be one of those personal ambassadors. So my question to you this morning is, who are you an ambassador to? You're an ambassador already. And you're the King's ambassador. Who are you an ambassador to? Who has the Lord sent you to? And on any given day, you may not even know, because your trail may cross somebody's path during the day that you hadn't anticipated, somebody you haven't seen in a long time. Somebody may call you out of the blue from another state that you haven't talked to in a long time. Or you may meet somebody you've never seen at the gas pump or standing in line at the store. We do not know, but I do know this. Wherever we are, what are we? As ambassadors. I'm going to try to keep it brief, but I heard this story. One of the evangelism conferences we went to, this preacher, he's from South Africa or somewhere, but he's been in the States a lot of years, and he teaches at a college. But one night, he and a buddy, they were watching a football game or something. It was just him and there, and the ladies were gone, and they go down to the local grocery and pick up some junk food. And there's this couple in front of them, poorly dressed with a little baby that looks malnourished. And he didn't know who they were or anything. And he said, the Lord said to him, I want you to empty your wallet and give them everything you got. So when they were leaving, he walked up behind the guy and stuck his finger in his rib. Wouldn't let him see him. He said, you don't know who I am, but I serve the Lord Christ. And he told me to give you this. And he left and went home. Some years later, when he was at a place, a man came forward to speak to him. He said, you probably don't remember me. He said, God used you to turn my life around. He said, I had lost my job, I had lost my work, I had run out of options. He said, we had gone to that store to buy a little item for the baby, and then my wife and I had agreed that we were going to go over and jump off of the bridge and drown ourselves. And he said, after you did what you did, I knew God still loved me. He hadn't forgotten me. I knew there was hope. And we went back to Alabama, and we made some changes, and we got in church, and we both accepted the Lord, and now I'm here in Bible school. And I'm called to the ministry. Folks, we're ambassadors. And we're never off the clock. Who are you an ambassador to? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you loved us enough to send your son. But you not only loved us that much, you love us enough to now work with us as believers. We're not perfect, but you're still working on us every day. And we know you're working on us, and you bring things up, and it's because you're making us better, and you're getting the old things of the flesh to fall off so that you can have full control. But even however we are right now, Lord, if we know you, you've chosen us, you've selected us to be your ambassadors. We may feel like poor ambassadors. We may feel like we don't know how to talk real well. But just, Lord, that we would remember we're your ambassadors. And if you made us your ambassadors, then you're going to enable us to say what we need to say when we need to say it, to whom we need to say it to. And all we have to do is trust your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. Thank you for this glorious message. We're not the ones. We're just the recipients of it. And now we're passing it on. It's your gospel that changes the lives. You've just chosen to put it in us. So let us, Lord, glorify you. And let us never be bashful about spreading this word. Help us to get that lid off of that perfume bottle and start spreading that fragrance. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.